Let us pray. Holy God, by the light of your word and the breath of your spirit, bring us good news of great joy for all. The good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 52. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now, every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up, as usual, for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why are you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he had said to him. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Beloved of God, the word has become flesh and lived among us. Thanks be to God.
Well, once again, Christmas seems to be over. We have some lingering reminders, but in a lot of ways, it really feels like Christmas has started to move on, at least for another year, doesn't it? We've had those special services to remind us of who God is and who we are. We've been reminded of God's miraculous plan of salvation in this Christmas season. We've celebrated with special feasts and rituals and traditions, all these religious and cultural festivities of the season. But now, well, another holiday has passed. All the time put into preparing and organizing and then that great anticipated day of importance and celebration, the special time spent with family and friends, has once again come and gone. Travelers are returning home. Those lights and songs of the season are starting to fade a little bit into memory again. We're going back to work or back to school. Or whatever it is, life is heading back to, well, I want to say normal. Whatever normal is these days, it's starting to head back there. And it's another year. And so Mary and Joseph, together with their family and friends, neighbors and fellow pilgrims and travelers, they have started the return journey back to their home in Nazareth. Actually, it's not just another year. It's been about 12 years since those mysterious and miraculous happenings. 12 years since those angels began showing up out of nowhere to announce the most extraordinary and surprising news possible. And it certainly, at least at that time, seemed that life was never, ever going to be the same again. 12 years since Mary herself burst into a song about how God was changing everything, the proud being scattered and God's strength for the humble, the certainty of tyrants and kings and the powerful being thrown down from their thrones and the lowly lifted up in their place, and the promise of the rich being sent away empty but the hungry being filled with good things. 12 years since then. 12 years since that night they had to spend time homeless and far away from home, and as new parents, no less. 12 years since they had to use that makeshift manger. And those shepherds, 12 years since those shepherds showed up unannounced with a story of yet more angels, a whole host this time, an army, a battalion of them, and the heavens bursting into song. But it's been 12 years since then, and all that's even begun to fade into memory. So we should forgive Mary and Joseph if they've maybe begun to wonder a little bit. Did all that really happen? It's been 12 years. To be quite honest, after all that initial excitement, life had become rather normal again. Looking back, it's completely understandable that they might be asking themselves, was any of that real? Did it change anything? It's been 12 years. And no more angels or unannounced shepherds or people suddenly bursting into song. Well, there was that other time when those magi showed up, but even then, it's been a while. Now, there has been some excitement, but it's been the rather normal, expected kind that comes with raising a child. Despite all the hullabaloo and great and grand proclamations about this particular child, it quickly settled into the normal flow of first words and first steps. And the marking of time, not by the presence of angels and kings showing up from afar, but that slow, regular marking of time by the years. And maybe marking the inches grown on the doorpost. And so Mary and Joseph have pretty much settled back into everyday life, each day taken up with those normal rituals and liturgies, working, cooking, cleaning, keeping track of an apparently sometimes precocious little boy. And with that, they've settled back into those comfortable yearly rhythms of life, the comings and goings of the weeks and the months, the fasts and feasts that show up periodically, and the religious and community celebrations. And so once again, Mary and Joseph, they've made the yearly journey to Jerusalem to again celebrate the Passover. That holy time of celebration with family and friends and strangers, with God's people, when they are reminded together who God is. He's the God who sets people free. And they are reminded who they are. We're the people who have been freed and belong to this God. Then once again, it's over. And it's time to return home to normal, everyday life. But this time, on the way back, 12-year-old Jesus seems to be missing, lost in the crowd. It's been a day of traveling already, and nobody has seen him. And so panicked, Mary and Joseph begin to retrace their steps back to Jerusalem. It's a whole day to get there, and then another whole day of anxious and hopeful and worried looking. And finally, on the third day, the third day since he'd gone missing, they find him. 3 days missing, but now, there he is, sitting in the temple with all the respected teachers of the law, sitting there listening and asking questions. And not the normal questions you'd expect from a 12-year-old boy. No, these are questions that show profound understanding and insight far beyond his years. The kinds of questions you'd really only expect from the wisest and oldest of the rabbis. And so everyone is amazed and astonished at his grasp of the things of God. Everyone, except maybe for Mary. But this time, while everyone else is amazed, she's not just pondering all this in her heart. No, she's got no time for that, at least not right away. That'll come later, because at the moment, like any good mother, she is busy letting him know, "Child, why have you treated us like this? We have been worried sick." Thought maybe I'd get an amen from some of the parents there. And I can't help but wonder, if she was tempted to break out the, "I carried you for 9 months, and the last little bit of that time, I had to walk all the way to Bethlehem. And don't get me started on going into labor with you in a barn filled with animals. And this is how you treat me." But Jesus, 12-year-old boy Jesus, calmly asks, "Well, why were you searching? Didn't you know I had to be here in my Father's house? I belong here in this place, the temple, because I belong in that place where heaven and earth meet. I am meant to be where the purposes of God, the forgiveness, the redemption, the hope of all people, I am meant to be there, where all of that comes together and is poured out on the world. This is where I'm supposed to be." But they didn't quite understand that yet. And they all returned to Nazareth, and Jesus was obedient to them, it says. And now, it's been some time, so Mary once again treasures, ponders, stores up these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This story here about 12-year-old Jesus is the only story the Bible gives us about his childhood. In Matthew's gospel account, we go from baby Jesus to grown-up Jesus. In John, we get that grand prologue. We use some of it for our call to worship this morning, that grand prologue about the Word becoming flesh. And then John, again, brings us straight to grown-up Jesus. And in Mark begins with jumping right in with grown-up Jesus. Only Luke gives us some information about Jesus growing up. But it's not much, just these 12 verses or so. Which is kind of interesting, because with someone like Jesus, haven't you ever found yourself wondering, what was he like as a kid? Was he a fussy baby? Did he sleep through the night? What about as a toddler? A boy or an adolescent? This wondering has led many over the centuries to speculate. And so there are non-biblical stories passed down, stories that the church has never said are true for a variety of very good reasons. If you're interested, we can talk about that some other time. But people have still come up with these strange, weird stories filled with miracles and supernatural happenings. Jesus as a boy doing all sorts of wild and miraculous things, more like he's a superhero just discovering and testing out his powers than a boy growing up. But those are the made-up stories. So it's really interesting that the one story in the Bible, the one story in Scripture that deals with his childhood is actually in many ways just so normal. There's no more angels showing up. There's no miraculous healings or big displays of supernatural power. Jesus is showing a lot of wisdom, but nothing to indicate he's displaying the omniscience of God. Especially because it says he had to actually increase and grow in wisdom. He learned things. In many ways, this could be a scene from the life of any number of families. Your family, my family. A 12-year-old child exasperating his parents and not quite seeing what all the fuss was about. Near as I can figure, that description would fit into almost any family at some point in time. It's fascinating that after all the pomp and circumstance and miracles and angels and singings and declarations of what God is up to and the celebration of his birth, most of the rest of his life, the vast majority of his 30-something years, is lived out in very normal, everyday circumstances. Did you catch the beginning and ending verses of our passage? Verse 40 says, "The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." And verse 52 concludes by saying, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years." After the miraculous events surrounding his birth, All those indications that this child was and is also fully divine, of one substance with God the Father, we get this passage here that reminds us that he is also, and at the same time, fully human. He has to grow, to learn things, to increase in wisdom. And we find ourselves walking the boundaries of mystery here as we're seeing how Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. And there's certainly enough just right here for a lifetime of reflection and study. Fully human, fully divine. It's not either or with Jesus, or this over here and this part and that over here and that part, half this and half that. No, it is both and, all this and all that together. And so perhaps we should, like Mary, we should learn to first and foremost simply treasure and ponder all these things in our heart. But as we explore this picture that we get of Jesus this morning, on this second Sunday of Christmas, what I do also want us to think about is how we can often find ourselves in much the same place as Mary and Joseph. After all the pomp and circumstance of the birth of Jesus, the miracles, the angels, the celebration of God coming into the world, after all of that, for the next 12 years, it was life as normal for Mary and Joseph, as they simply sought to live life and raise their son the best that they could. After all the pomp and circumstance of Christmas, the special worship services and devotionals, the candles and decorations everywhere, and all that stuff that reminds you something extraordinary is going on, after all that, well, it's been a good holiday. But now many of us, or our family members, are heading back to work or school or whatever it may be tomorrow, maybe already this past week, or certainly sometime soon. There's been family gatherings, but now people are heading back home. There's a lot to clean up and things to box up and put away back in the basement or the attic. And then it's back to the normal patterns and rituals or liturgies of everyday life. We've been making sure to talk and sing about how awesome and amazing and life-changing a thing it is that Jesus has come into the world, that God has taken on flesh, that God has become one of us. But now that all the special celebrations are moving into the past, it's easy to start to wonder, does any of that really make a difference? As everything just seems to go back to the way it was. The same daily grind, the same struggles, the same doubts, the same conflicts with the same people. Most of us find ourselves at one time or another asking the same question that I suspect ran through Mary and Joseph's minds throughout those 12 years. Was any of that real? Because at least some of the time, maybe even a lot of the time, it doesn't look like much has changed. And that's where the normalcy of this passage of Scripture, the normalcy of the 12 years of Jesus growing up, the normalcy of Jesus learning, having to learn and increase in wisdom, the normalcy of his parents, who even though they had witnessed angels and the miracles of his birth firsthand, the normalcy of them becoming exasperated by a 12-year-old boy, in many ways, acting like any other 12-year-old boy. And that, family, that is where this passage speaks hope and the grace of God to us. God is not just the God of the extraordinary and the miraculous. God is not just the God of the spectacular mountaintop experiences. God, he is also the God of the normal things of everyday life. Jesus wasn't always surrounded by angels trumpeting his glory, or declarations of fulfilled prophecy, or miraculous and instant healings. Jesus was also there in the midst of daily routines and chores, of everyday family interactions and frustrations, He was there in the midst of all those very same things that fill up most of our lives as well. That's how God works most of the time. And the beauty of this, the truth of this, the grace of this, is that, to paraphrase another pastor, is that Jesus coming as a baby, as someone who shares fully in our human nature, coming as a person who also has to grow and learn and increase in wisdom and all of that, Jesus coming in this way automatically puts God's seal of approval on what often seems to us to be a slow and very unmiraculous process and passage of time and growth. And looking at Jesus here, we see that God is present. God is at work in all manner of life. Our temptation is to doubt and wonder if any of this is real simply because the excitement has come and gone. But what this scripture passage confronts us with, what Jesus, the Word made flesh, yes, fully divine, but also fully human, what Jesus confronts us with is that He is always present and always at work through all of it. He is always right where He should be, at the intersection of heaven and earth. He is always right where He belongs, mediating God's forgiveness and redemption to us through Himself. In all the places where God's freedom is proclaimed, He is always at work bringing hope in all circumstances. Sometimes, yes, sometimes quite miraculously. But so many other times, He is simply working faithfully through the ins and outs of the normal, everyday, day-to-day life. And so when you find yourself asking, is any of that real? Is any of it real? Because it sure doesn't always look like it. Family, know this. Treasure this in your heart. That Jesus is always where He needs to be. Always at work interceding for you. Always mediating grace and mercy, forgiveness and redemption to you. Freedom and release from captivity of one kind or another. Always proclaiming that heaven and earth come together. He's always bringing heaven to you and to the earth, and He is also at the same time raising and lifting you up, bringing you to His heavenly Father. He is doing it, yes, in the exciting and joyous moments and celebrations, but He is also doing it in all those normal moments of everyday life. He's doing it in the joyous and exciting times of family or of new opportunities, and He is doing it in the midst of those anxious and troubled times. He is doing it in the midst of new things that are coming and being born into the world, and He is doing it in the midst of the same old patterns and routines. When you find yourself wondering where Jesus has gone to, family, know that He has come in the flesh. And so He is right where He needs to be, in that place where divinity and humanity meet, in that place where the things of the earth are taken up into the things of heaven, and the things of heaven come crashing and even sneaking into the things of earth. Jesus is the place where all life, yours, mine, all of it. He is that place. He is that person through whom God is always at work redeeming and glorifying. As this particular season comes to an end, this is the good news for us, that Jesus has come in the flesh. He has come into our history, to your history, to our day-to-day life, to your day-to-day life. And He is always exactly where He needs to be. For you, for us, and indeed for this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, family. Amen.